Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We are a little late starting today, we apologize, but anyway, here we are on the air, and I want to let everybody know how to get a hold of us. 914-338-0164 is the call number. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us, and our callers and listeners can follow us on our Facebook site and Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. And I'm going to post the show now. So, Neil, start talking.
Well, you have picked a topic today, so I'm going to at least introduce it. Because you were talking about the astral realm and something that was wrong your interest. So why don't you...
Well, I'm posting the show at the moment. So I want to make sure that I get that out to our followers so we can get some calls. So just let me do that. Somehow they changed the way which you post to pages, which is really frustrating because share to a page a story. I don't know.
Anyways, you had introduced the idea that what you were saying is how do you connect to the astral realm on what level? And do you have to have karma with somebody on the astral realm? Something along that line.
Well, the topic was how you can have karma with a person on you can have a karma with a person on a soul level, but the content of that karma can be diluted in the connection that one has with that person on the planet. So in this specific instance, I'm talking about a client that you had for many years prior to meeting me. And we recently talked about her death. Unfortunately, it was a tragic death, premature death at the age of 51, very sad. And this was a person that I had limited contact with for, you know, whatever reason, I had limited contact with this person, not a lot of interaction. We'd spoken on the phone a few times, more than a few times maybe, but never an in-person meeting. I'd met her mother in person, but never met her in person. She had the opportunity to meet me, but she chose not to for whatever reason, like I said. But I already knew that there was an intense karma between us, and there are things, elements in our birth date codes that support that theory. And specifically, I'm not going to give the birth date numbers. Her birth date happened to be my birth date backwards on the karmic side of the birth date. So her month and day essentially is my birth date in reverse. And there is an intense past life, but as I said, the content of that karma was diluted on the planet because I never met this person, never met her in person, but because Neil also had karma with her, and the karma was intense in a on the physical realm, because Neil and I also have karma. There was a past life with, you know, all these characters, the parents, Neil and I, this person in a past life. But what was particularly interesting, not last night, but the night before, and we've been kind of waiting for something to happen as far as this woman connecting in a dream. And I figured Neil was going to connect with her. But what actually happened is I had a dream about her. She connected, and it was an astral dream. It wasn't a psychological dream. So I actually connected with her on the astral realm in my dream state. And what struck me as interesting is that I was the one who connected with her. Now, we haven't talked to her mother in a couple weeks, so I don't know if she's connected with her mother on that level yet or not. It was a surprise to me that she would connect with me and not Neil first. She connected with me, which shows the power of karma and the connection on the soul level, because clearly, you know, the relationship with Neil was close, many readings and counseling sessions.
Well, I got it
throughout the
stop
years.
You here because
why
she did connect in a reading.
She connected in a reading. I'm talking about in a dream. Yeah, she connected in readings with you.
She connected in a reading.
She did.
With the mother. So
with the mother. She did.
That vibration occurred.
Yeah.
But in the dream.
In the dream state. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about in a reading. So I think we established that on another show that she connected in reading, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So. But in the dream world.
We have a caller. We're going to get to you in just a moment. 312.
Yeah. Just hold on. 312. In the dream world, the astral realm, yeah, it's funny. I mean, a soul can connect to random people. That, sometimes it's significant people. Oftentimes,
well, yeah, I mean, this wasn't random. I'm not a random person because I had a past life with her. And the content of the dream.
No, I said a spirit.
In the astral
realm, a soul can connect to random people. I'm not talking about you.
I got it. That
we start the common denominator there. Souls can connect to random people in the astral realm.
Right.
When
but
it
in
comes
this,
to your situation, it was karma and stuff like that.
In this case, right. And there was a specific reason for her to connect with me. In the construct of the dream, you know, it was difficult to determine what the relationship was, but it was either we were very best friends, like sisters, or we were sisters in the dream. I couldn't differentiate.
The past life energy field. So, I mean, you have reverse orders in your month and days, but the past life, so that has some coded energy in it. And it sometimes doesn't matter what happens on the earthly plane, insofar that there is a connection, obviously, through me, that I'm the bridge of that connection. And that actual connection was made prior to you coming into the picture.
Well, even coming even prior to me coming into the planet.
Well, yeah, talking about the karma, but on this lifetime level.
But on this lifetime level, the connection was made prior.
The shadows.
I wasn't even alive.
There's shadows predating our existence.
Maybe I was alive.
Well, there's shadows predating our existence, and that includes past life energies, which are often played out. But when we look at the circumstances of your life, her life, in connection with me, we start to see very similar things going on in some respect. So, and that zone for her to connect to you could be a way of approaching the energy field that she wasn't able to experience on the planet. So it's through the astral realm that she makes this connection. Because in the astral realm, the soul is more aware of the past life conditions. So that's where that starts to come in. We'll get to our caller in about 30 seconds. But the idea here,
before we get to the callers. In the astral realm, when one enters the astral realm, they see all the results of their life, their past lives, and they can easily now put things together. And in that regard, they can contact or connect to people on the planet that they have had major connections with, even though it wasn't expressed in their immediate lifetime. That's where that's coming from. That's where the curtains are that starts to unravel some of the storyline. Now, it may be of great help to her to do this. There may be something that's being worked out. We don't know. That's possible. And so it's a continuing saga. But yes, when souls cross over, there's active energy, there's past life awareness, and then on the soul's part, there's an attempt to connect to people that the soul has had past lives with.
Right. Well, it was very interesting because not only was she in the dream, but the parents were in the dream. I'd met her mother, but not her father, but the father was in the dream. And then after I woke up, I had a very hard time differentiating between whether the dream was, I mean, I didn't think it was a dream. I woke up and thought everything that had happened in my dream was real. And so it took me a while to actually wake up and realize that I had had a dream. And once that happened, I was jolted awake and shocked. And I woke you up and said, you know, are you awake? This is what happened. When I finally fell back asleep, I returned to the dream, but then I was at her, I guess it's a wake is what it's called. I was at her funeral wake. Everybody's together and there's food and blah, blah, blah. And so I was with people at a table and she was not there anymore, but it was like this continuation. So it was an interesting experience for sure. Let's get to the caller. And if we have more time after the call, we'll discuss it. Hi, 312. Are you there? Hello. 312 is not.
She's there.
Yeah, I know who this is. It's Karen. I don't know why she's not answering. Let's disconnect her and then see if she calls back. She probably took a call on the other line. That's why it's silent.
Well, there's great matters to be worked out in the astral realm. I mean, first of all, one has to amass all of their life experiences and sort them out. What was accomplished or wasn't accomplished, what was on the positive side, what was on the negative side. Then there's a measurement. How much positive energy did you do on the planet? To what percentage did it go? How high does it rise, the vibration? And then there's a negative. How dark was your negative side? What did you do? Sometimes the positive overrules the negative. Sometimes the negative overrules the positive. Sometimes it's an even deal. If the negative overrules the positive, or even under circumstances where it sort of comes out even, there's a chance that the soul returns to Earth in order to increase that positive energy. If the positive energy is overwhelming, well, then fortunately the soul has the experience of moving forward into the astral realm. It's hard to determine on an earthly plane where a soul is going to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, in that dream, you know, one sign that wasn't exactly positive is that there was a pool a house and a pool, almost like one of the images that I remember in the dream is almost like when you look at those, I don't know, Zillow or Trulia sites, and they show pictures of homes, and it was like a perspective of the home at night with a pool, and this woman died in the pool. And so that's not probably a terribly positive sign, because that's, you know, essentially the element in which she died, and, you know, perhaps she could be stuck there. That probably wasn't the greatest.
Oftentimes a soul will be suspended in the area where they expired, they will be suspended there. It doesn't mean that they're being tortured or anything. They're just in between the realms where, between the realm of Earth and what we would call a higher, like heavenly plane. So the idea that that can a soul from that position move into a higher space after having whatever they do on that plane? Can a soul from that position move into a higher place? Yes. Just as much as they can return to the planet or remain suspended on that astral intermediate plane. So the idea is you're sort of in a holding pattern. And we know this probably is, well, we don't know, but we can assume from forms of literature that sometimes souls are just not swept immediately into heaven. Some souls linger. Some souls are asleep in their graves. Some souls are in an intermediate plane, working things out. Sometimes, in biblically speaking, that's often considered to be the wilderness. The wilderness can, the lower planes of the astral realm can be considered the wilderness.
Well, that's where Jesus went to.
Yeah, they, you know, the wilderness can be interpreted where he went out into the desert and prayed, or whatever. He went to a remote area. But the wilderness is also considered to be the astral realm, the great outer realm where you are beyond the earth plane and you're able to have a higher access to spirits and guides and things like this. So it's utterly called the wilderness. In the position of being in the wilderness on an earthly plane, I mean, if you look at Christ, he doesn't have to go out into the forest to pray. His actions were immediate. Wherever he was in the space in the presence of God. So literally, does he have to go out into, now you might say, oh, he went out into the garden or he had to go out and find peace and solitude. Perhaps, but in the essence of being truly in the spirit, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. You don't have to go to a sacred place, even though there are episodes, I'm not saying there aren't, where there is the sacred bush, the burning bush, Mount Sinai, the garden, all kinds of areas. Even Abraham going to the remote place to sacrifice his son. All of this is part of the wilderness. But when we get into the astral realm and we consider what is defined as the wilderness, that is the place where souls are collected. Spirits are there, guides are there, yes, even angels visit and frequent that area, just as they would the earth. So what happened, you went out of your body. You had an out-of-body experience. You were transported. And in that element, you were transported directly under the probably signal of this soul. And something was worked out to where in your interpretation of the actual events, you were interpreting them in such a way that it came out to be like a symbolic dream. Because the astral realm doesn't really have solid things. There aren't swimming pools in the astral realm. But an attempt to translate the experience to the sleeping body, you'll see a swimming pool, which may be a representation of something that happened on the earth. But there are literally no swimming pools.
Obviously. Well, I mean, we've established that.
No, our dump just came by.
Hi.
We have a morning dove that just flew up probably the spirit element. Because she's like 10 feet away from us and just happened to land and say hello. Doves are significant too because we know that doves alighted Christ and doves alighted certain biblical characters.
Okay.
So here she is just saying hello to us, staring
looking
at us.
In.
And probably is just making a signal that all will be well.
All will be well.
So,
God. We're not gonna mention who that quote is attributed
yeah.
to.
So, you know, I know that most of us have visited the astral plane in our dreams. If you've had a weird dream that just didn't feel ordinary, well, there might be a chance you were in the astral plane. And it's quite an amazing journey because while you're asleep, your astral body literally leaves your physical body by way of a silver cord, so like an astronaut leaving a spaceship, and enters into a whole different dimension, a whole different element. And even though there may be traces that you can recognize on an earthly level, it's not really what you're seeing. It's just in the transportation of the event to the sleeping body that the body has to filter it and redesign it so it makes sense. It's not to say that some dreams make total nonsense, but the brain will try to assemble in an orderly way symbols that seem dependably logical, even though it may be a surreal thought. But that's what's happening in the astral realm. In the astral realm, you're dealing with vibration and energy, which is a representation of events. But they have their own language. The astral body does perceive that language. It knows exactly what's being expressed. But then again, because the astral body is still attached to the sleeping body, the signals have to be transmitted back to the sleeping body. And that's where the definition becomes corrupt in a corrupted state. It reduces itself from a vibration to an image, to an image that can be a representation of what's happening out there. So if a soul is in stress or turmoil, there may be some comfort in connecting to a human being because they still have that access to finding the astral body of any particular human. Now,
well, and obviously connecting to me, there's a connection to you, so that, you know, obviously because of the fact that you had a long-term relationship of providing her support and counsel, connecting to me would obviously give her some comfort because of the relationship.
Perhaps. And there may be a secluded element between the two of you that, well, it would still probably be contained within a dynamic triad between us, because the things go deep in time and space backward. A lot of times when a soul crosses over, you think they've entered the eternal space, and in essence they have. But when we talk about time itself, eternity still captures the concept of time, because timelessness doesn't even have words that relate to time. And eternity, even though it appears to be a timeless definition, it still pertains to a definition. So there's consciousness. And in that consciousness, what happens is that the soul will connect to the circular energy of the system.
Well, that's the word I was going to mention. Circular. In pertaining to eternity, rather than a linear existence is circular. So in her existence on the planet, in terms of her relationship to me, her perception was a linear one. She didn't have, you know, in her sessions, there was no mention of me or my relationship to her. She didn't, you know, her readings were probably more on a linear level, maybe with some content of past life connections, but I mean, it wasn't worth mentioning. I mean, there was no appropriateness in mentioning my connection with her at that time. But now that she's in the astral realm, there's an awareness of that circular existence and the connections that you have to people that are on the planet still, or souls that have crossed, and what kind of karma exists between them.
Right. I mean, it can be probably a very exciting experience to, when you finally do hopefully cross over in a natural way, and you get to review your past lives. I would assume it could even be very entertaining to discover where your soul has been, to have all that information at hand, to see everything, every action you've ever done, every biblical, every year on your head will be counted. Every hair on your head will be counted. That doesn't mean God is literally counting their hair. What he's literally doing is counting every second you've been on the planet.
Yeah, that would be tough with some people that have really dense hair. And then what if you're bald? I mean, then there's no hair to be counted.
So what if while he's counting your hair, a minute ago one of them fell out, so now he loses count.
He loses track. What happens
it's
then?
It's no wonder that God is neurotic. But and then everybody's hair he's counting, and it doesn't matter. What it really means is that your every second is right there, and it must be amazing to be able to experience it in an instant. Because we're talking, you're kind of removed from time in a way. You're removed from the construction of time. So you're able to see everything at once. So you're sort of omnipresent and also omniscient, because you're sort of in an all-knowing, all-present state. So everything's captured at once. It's sort of, God, I don't know how to explain it. It's sort of like looking at a plate with different objects on it.
Interesting analogy.
And even though you see each individual object, they're all there at once, and you can see them all at once. But they all have their individuality and their own constructed separateness within one realm. A past life to the third eye is very similar. To the third eye, you can see every life you've ever led all at once. And it's right there, like a vast painting with several figures in it. It's all there. And so each part plays, has an element. Now, in linear existence, yes, you can see your past lives lined up in linear form. So you could see if you've progressed from one lifetime to another, or degressed.
Well, often there's a combination of progression and degression. It's not just one or the other.
Right. I know. There's all kinds of...
I know you know, but they may not know.
Oh. Well, obviously, yes. There's all kinds of assorted combinations. And then it comes out as an even sort of energy. What you're looking at is your previous lifetime. What's the number that you ended up with? When you have an average. And if that number has high intensity, one of your past lives that was very damaging may have been made up in a proceeding lifetime. So even though you may have screwed up in one lifetime, maybe two lifetimes later you've made up for it. And then from there you've progressed. You have to understand that your master number represents your movement through time and space. It doesn't necessarily comprise how well you're doing. It just means what your movement is. You look at your linear code, and then you can maybe decipher out of that master number, how well, you know, where your ups and downs are in terms of the frequencies of the numbers, which we're going to discuss later in our book when we finally get it published. But working intensely on it, over 1,000 pages, which will probably cancel when it's published. But that's how you look at the content.
Yeah, because the master number, I mean, typically is not conceived in such a way that it's comprised of all the linear numbers. I mean, it is in terms of adding it up, but if you read numerology books that are currently out in the market today, they're not talking about the individual numbers of past lives and what those numbers mean, and the dilution of a master number or any number is reduced to a personality profile. Threes are, you know, they have personalities that are bubbly and they're, you know, usually performers. That's, you know, sevens are intellectuals. I mean, that's what common numerology has reduced numerology to, unfortunately,
yeah, is
personality
really
profile.
Inaccurate.
I mean, there are books that do try to explain. There's a book that I have, and it kind of goes into past lives and there's, you know, other numbers that have to do with karma, you know, calculations and things like that. But it's really not accurate, unfortunately. It misses the mark, even though it attempts to do something deeper than other books that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's convenient to the history of numerology. It's somewhat convenient to reduce a number to a characteristic state, but it's so inaccurate.
Well, and astrology does it too. I mean, well, you know, a Scorpio, you know, they tend to be moody. Something I just heard recently.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's truth in that. But it's like saying all humans, or most humans laugh, most humans cry. You know, you have characteristics of what it is to be a human, but that hardly defines the depth of one's humanness. That numerology, as it's stated, is very limiting in the clarity of its constitutes, of what makes up a human being and what a human being has gone through. You're not going to find that in a master number. You might find a certain layer of energy, but it's all storefront material. It doesn't go into, the attempt to go into depth is not really defined by a sense of sound logic. So in our book of numerology, we're going into the depth of what really constitutes the code of the birth date. That has not really been discussed, as far as I know, with vast amounts of books I've read on it. Yes, I've read books that have gone into details, great detail, and very interesting. But our approach is very different. It's going to be a very different approach than what has previously been published and investigated. So now, when we get into the element of the astral realm, and what is an astral body? Is it shaped like a human form? Not necessarily, but in an earthly translation of that energy, one can appear to see a human form
it's just like seeing a pool and a in a house in the astral realm. There's not really a pool in the house, but it you know, things in the astral realm can represent what is on the earth plane, but it isn't necessarily in a physical form. Obviously, it's not in a physical form at all.
No, so. we tend to want to think that, you know, the a person crossing over might be look like a ghost or like a transparent human being, and that they hold the same looks and characteristics of how they appeared when they were alive. That's our comfort level. Can a spirit or a soul reform that? Yes, they can, because I've seen it myself. But in the raw state of the astral realm, that's not how they appear. There may be a likeness, but in the raw state, there is energy. And it still retains a form of consciousness in terms of its source of energy. We tend to think in scientific terms that beams of light can be, you know, that